Grace and peace in our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, members of God's church, we are approaching the end of our Lenten season, and so I'd like to take this opportunity to wish you happy anniversary, and not the 25th anniversary, or 40th, or 50th, but happy 500th anniversary. What am I referring to? Well, of course, it's the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. It was 500 years ago that Martin Luther, October 31st, 1517, nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. And with the Reformation, God restored his word front and center to the church. With the Reformation, God focused his church, his people, back on the heart and core of Lent, that it is finished and Jesus has done it all. And so this year we are celebrating because we're heirs of the Reformation. There are going to be special services. There will be special Bible studies. There will be special gatherings to celebrate the Reformation, and we already have seen the new movie that's been produced, Return to Grace, The Life and Legacy of Martin Luther, right here, previewed by Mount Olive. And so this morning, as we think about that precious message of Lent, it gives us all the more reason to celebrate our Reformation heritage. And I'd like to direct your attention to the words of the psalmist in our psalm for today, where he simply says, "Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart." And we'll consider two things. First of all, that these statutes are the most precious heritage you could possibly receive. And that these statutes, God's word, are the most precious heritage you could possibly leave. Have you ever considered God's word to be a heritage that you've received into your life, passed down from generation to generation? That's the implication of the word here in Scripture. The word heritage connotes passing down land in the nation of Israel from one generation to the next. And now God's word, God's statutes are that heritage we have received. In my work as an estate planning counselor, we talk about heritages. And families know the things they want to pass down. When I visit with people, they might say, "You know, this farm was my dad's. He inherited it from his dad, and he from his dad. This is our family heritage. We want to pass it down in our family." Other people might say something like, "Well, we've had this cabin up north. The children grew up there. They enjoyed it. We're going to keep it in the family." Maybe you would have something more sentimental. Great-great-grandma's wedding ring. It's a family heirloom. We're going to keep it in the family. Or maybe it's something that people consider practical. A couple of months ago, I visited a gentleman near Fremont, and he said, "We've had Packer season tickets since the Ice Bowl in 1967, and we're going to keep them in the family." Those things were considered important. But this morning, I'd like to ask you, is there something that's more important than all those things? Is there something that's more precious? And God's word said, yes. The statutes the Lord has given, his word. Remember what Jesus said, for example. Jesus said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Critical, right? We need that. Or when he was visiting with Mary and Martha, Martha was busy in the kitchen, and Mary was at Jesus' feet listening to him teach. Jesus told Martha, "She has chosen the one thing needful, precious." It tells us who God is, who Jesus is, what the way to heaven is. What could be more precious than that? This year, it helps us to appreciate the Reformation when we realize it wasn't always this way in God's church. Before the Reformation, the Word of God among the people of God was rather hard to find. Before the Reformation, the church didn't consider God's Word to be a precious diamond to receive from generations past and pass on to generations future. Kind of kicked it into the corner, the dusty corner. And so, instead of the Word of God, the teachings of the church fathers and the proclamations of popes and councils took center stage in the church. Man-made rituals dominated the worship. And the focus of Lent was more of what can I give up for God rather than what Jesus has given up for me. And so the church really didn't treasure the heritage that had come down to it and wasn't anxious to pass it on. But then God worked through Martin Luther and the other reformers. They were interested in the Bible, they studied it, and they really found out what it had to say. Remember, Jesus had made that promise where he said, "Heaven and earth can pass away, but my word will never pass away." And he kept that promise. In spite of the persistent persecutions, in spite of ecclesiastical apathy, in spite of the schemes of Satan himself, God used Martin Luther to translate the Bible from the Greek and the Hebrew into the language of the people. And just at that time, by God's providence, the printing press was invented so that the Bible could be published and printed and spread throughout the land. And so today, if you can pick up a Bible like this in your own hands, that's part of your Reformation heritage, that you can do that. If you can open that Bible up and read it in your own language, that's part of your Reformation heritage, that you can do that. If you can come to church and you can expect to have the scriptures read in your own language and not in Latin, that's part of your Reformation heritage. Or come to sing hymns, as we've done this morning, based on the scripture. Or hear a sermon focusing on God's word. That's our Reformation heritage. Today, as Christians in 2017, we should realize that we are like beggars coming to a banquet. And as a result of the Reformation, we have God's Word like a smorgasbord ahead of us. Think of the Bibles that we have. We have children's Bibles, study Bibles, devotional Bibles. At that smorgasbord, we pile our plates full of Bible resources. We can have Bible studies in every book of the Bible. We have Bible commentaries, Bible dictionaries, devotions, meditations, based on the Bible. What a wonderful heritage we have received. Yet that isn't the most important or precious part of our heritage. Our Reformation heritage really is precious because of the gospel it contains. Through the Reformation, God restored the gospel. Martin Luther risked his life to proclaim it. What did he say? He said, "Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, based on Scripture alone." Grace, faith, Scripture. At his day, you could have been killed for saying something as radical as that. The church had gotten away from that simple gospel message. The church had begun to teach that it is by doing things that you could earn God's favor, that you could help work your way to heaven. So, if you wanted to earn God's favor, maybe you could pray a little more, or pay a little more, do more penance or good works. And doesn't that sound reasonable? Have you ever been tempted to think that way? You know, if I come to church every Sunday this month, God's going to like me. Or if I do nice things for my neighbor, God's going to like me. You know, we could raise our hands. That sounds really good. Who could have ever imagined that it doesn't make any difference if you pray on your knees 24 hours a day, if you'd pay $1 zillion to Mount Olive, if you would live in a slum all of your life and serve the poor, it doesn't make us right with God. We go back to God's word, our heritage. And what does that word say? Let me just read you a couple of passages. Psalm 24, verse 4. Who may ascend the hill of our Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has a clean hands and a pure heart. Is that me? Is that you? Is that anybody you know? There's a short passage, Jesus' words. Matthew 5:48. Watch out for this one. Jesus said, be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Is that me or you? Someone you know? God's word tells us when God surveyed the human race, he said, oh, there's no one righteous, not even one. St. Paul said, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so that old saying is true, nobody's perfect. No matter how hard you may try, you're always going to be a day late and a dollar short living up to God's perfect standards. And so we deserve sin's wages. We deserve God's condemnation just for one sin. And that's what just about drove Luther to despair. Martin Luther felt, how can I love God, as we were asked to do in the Old Testament reading, love the Lord your God. How can I love God when I know he's going to condemn me to hell for my sins? I can't love him. There was nothing he could do. But the good news is God did something, right? That's what we're celebrating in Lent. He sent his Son into the flesh to live the perfect life we couldn't, to love God all the time perfectly, to love neighbor all the time perfectly, even his enemies. And then Jesus offered his life on the cross as a payment for sin, so that in view of that sacrifice, Isaiah said, although your sins be as scarlet, they are as white as snow. You start to understand why the psalmist said, oh, this is the joy of my heart. And so Martin Luther realized what Christ has done and that it became ours not by doing good works, but by faith. He read Romans 1:17 and the light came on. The just shall live by faith. The righteous will live by fath. Not works, not half works, half faith, just by faith alone. That's how Christ's righteousness is just draped all over us. His forgiveness is poured down upon us day after day. Isn't that the joy of our hearts? And so the core message of Lent, the core message of the gospel came to the fore. It's received by faith. And how do we get faith? Again, God's word tells us. Romans 10:17. Simply says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Faith comes through hearing the message. John the Baptist said, whoever believes has eternal life. St. Paul said, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And so now you and I as Christians, having that heritage come down to us, can wake up in the morning and say, I know I'm a redeemed child of God. My Father knows me by name. And when I walk out the door, God's not only with me, but he's for me. And as for my future, no matter what I have to go through, I know heaven is my home. Isn't that the joy of your heart? What could we receive as a heritage that's more precious than that? And so if that's what you've received, what could you pass along that's more precious than that? Estate planning talks about heritages, and it talks about farms and cabins and packer tickets, if you will. But it will include passing along the most precious heritage in our possession, God's Word. Christian estate planning talks about life insurance and IRAs and great-great-grandma's wedding ring. But it brings to the fore the greatest heritage we've ever received, God's Word. I'm here this morning to encourage you to consider that heritage as heirs of the Reformation that you and I have received, and think about deliberately how we can pass it on. There are a few things in a Christian estate plan that help us to do that. Like any estate plan, it centers on a will, but with Christian estate planning, we encourage people to think of what's important. Start off your will with a Christian preamble, which is a little statement of faith, what Jesus means to me. My wife and I think that this is probably the last devotion we're going to have with our children. And it tells them the most important thing I have to pass on to you is not the things that we have in our possession, but the faith that we have in our hearts. A Christian estate plan can enable young parents to choose Christian people for guardianship for their children. Not to let it up to the state of Wisconsin, who has no concern for Christian training. Christian guardians can be chosen who will read those Bible stories at night before they go to bed and teach little hands to be folded and pray at mealtime and give Christian education in a Christian atmosphere, passing on that heritage. Christian estate planning helps people like me, Grandpa, maybe arrange a trust or some other mechanism to support Christian education for grandchildren or even great-grandchildren, so that they can go to Mount Olive Lutheran School or a Lutheran school, Lutheran high school, even Lutheran college, to pass on that heritage through those important years. Christian estate planning allows all of us as Christians to think about how we're going to use the blessings God has given in joy to pass on that heritage, not only at Mount Olive here, but through the community, through our country, and even to churches on the other side of the world. Christian estate planning allows us to express the joy of our hearts. And this is something I see so often. A couple of months ago, I visited a little lady up in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Her children were grown, and her husband was in heaven. And she said, "I have this insurance policy, and I would like to change the beneficiary designation to support in scholarships those training to be pastors and teachers." And then she said, because she lived in an apartment, she could see her church just down the street. She said, "I don't care if they go to serve my church or a church on the other side of the world. I don't care if those teachers teach in our school or if they teach in China. All I want to do is have Jesus be known to more and more people." See, that was the joy of her heart. That was her intent. And so this morning, our theme is God's Word is our great heritage. And that's good, but it's not perfect. I think it should kind of be God's Word is our greatest heritage. What's more important than to pass that on so that our families and our loved ones can join us in heaven? God's Word tells us heart and core message of Lent. It is finished, and Jesus did it all. It's the joy of our hearts. Think about what God enables you to do to pass it on to your family, to your loved ones, and especially to generations yet unborn, to His glory. Amen. Please rise. And may this peace of God that we have under the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ keep your hearts and minds through faith in Him. Amen. Let us